Okay, we're getting here on the bottom of Yud Amud Bet by the Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omrim, Be'erev Kol Adam Yateh V'yikra, U'Boker Yamot. When a person comes to saying Kriyat Shema at night, he has to lay down to say Kriyat Shema. And in the morning, he has to stand up to say Kriyat Shema, Shenemar, U'B'shoch B'cho U'V'kumecho. It's dictating to you the position in which you must be in order to say Kriyat Shema. Beit Hillel Omrim, Kol Adam Kore K'darko. You can read any way you want, in any position that you want. Shenemar, because it says, while you're walking, while you're going on your way. So going on your way is any way that you please. The Shach B'chov Kumecha is not defining for you the position in which you must be. What's the purpose of Shach B'chov Kumecha? At the time that people are sleeping. The time that people awaken. So just to note here that there's an inconsistency in the definition. We saw this in the Mishnah, that Rashi explains that the machloket between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer is about the definition of the word shchiva. Is shchiva mean at the time that people go to sleep? Or is shchiva mean kol zman she'anashim shochvim, any time that people are sleeping? And both the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel think it's shchiva, the time that people are sleeping. But everybody agrees when we talk about uv kumecha, it's not the time that people are awake, it's when people awaken. Nobody says that you can say Kriyat Shema all day because that's when people are awake. It's clear there that it means when they awaken. So it'll turn out that according to that, that there's some sort of inconsistency between the two. Uvishach b'cha meaning time that people are sleeping, and whereas uvkumecha is going to be the time that people awaken. I'm a Rabbi Tarfon. Ani ayiti baba derech. Yitayti likrot kudivrei shamai. I was traveling on the way, and I lay down to read the Kriyat Shema like Beit Shammai. V'sikanti be'atzmi mipnei alistim. I endangered myself because of the marauders that were in that area. So Amrulo, they said to him, Kedai ayita lachov v'atzmecha. Shavrat al divrei Beit Hillel. You're deserving of whatever would have come to you because you violated the words of Beit Hillel. You didn't have to get down. You didn't have to stop what you were doing. You could have read Kriyat Shema while you were traveling. So now Gemara says, Bishlama Beit Hillel kamifarshi tamayhu. Beit Hillel themselves explain the reasoning behind their position. Vitaima de Beit Shammai. And they also explain what Beit Shammai's position is. They're explaining that B'shach B'chov Kumecha is talking about the time, not the position, indicating that Beit Shammai's position is B'shach B'chov Kumecha is defining for you the position in which you say Kriyat Shema. So now the Gemara says, Ela Beit Shammai, Maitama lo amri ke Beit Hillel. Why don't they hold like Beit Hillel? Beit Hillel explains what their position is and why they don't hold like Beit Shammai. Now, Beit Shammai himself gives no definition to why they don't hold like Beit Hillel. So, Amar Lechav Beit Shammai, Im Kim Neim Akra, Baboker Ba'erev. If it's just talking about the time and not position, you could have simply used the definitions of morning and night. Mai B'shoch B'chov Kumecha, B'shat Shchiva, Shchiva Mamash. So it means at nighttime, but in the position of Shchiva. U'B'shat Kima, Kima means daytime, or when you awaken, but Kima Mamash, but also indicates to you the position in which you say Kriyat Shema. So then you have now, U'B'lechtecha B'derech, which is left for Beit Shammai. U'Beit Shammai, Hai U'B'lechtecha B'derech, Mai Avid Lehu. What do they do U'B'lechtecha B'derech? Beit Hillel says U'B'lechtecha B'derech is teaching us the position. Shoch B'chov Kumecha is teaching us the time. Beit Shammai says that both time and position are defined by B'shoch B'chov Kumecha. That means now they have U'B'lechtecha B'derech left over. It says, "Hamu baylu leketanyo." They need it for this brayta. B'shiftecha beveitecha, prat laosek b'mitzvah, uvelechtecha b'derech, prat lechatan. So the two of these come to exclude cases where you do not say Kriyat Shema. That is, that when a person is osek b'mitzvah, he's patur min ha-mitzvah. So someone who is b'shiftecha beveitecha, when it's on your own time, then you say Kriyat Shema. When you're on God's time, then it's prat laosek b'mitzvah. You're not included. Now you have to ask, the Gemara then brings the second limud, which is v'lechtecha b'derech prat l'chatan. That's also the same thing. A chatan who gets married is asuk b'mitzvah, he's patur min ha-mitzvah. Why did the Gemara or the Braita have to bring two definitions here? They say osuk b'mitzvah and then osuk b'mitzvah again. So Rashi explains there's different types of problems here. Osuk b'mitzvah is someone who's physically engaged in the mitzvah. So when they're physically engaged in the mitzvah, they're patur from another mitzvah like Kriyat Shema. A chatan is not physically engaged in the mitzvah, we're going to see in 1 second, but rather he has psychological engagement in the mitzvah. He's worried, he's thinking about doing the mitzvah, and that psychological involvement also is poter him from saying Kriyat Shema. But that's the chiddush of the Braita. That's why we need a second meal to teach us. Not only is physical engagement enough to be poter you, but even psychological engagement is enough to free you of the mitzvah. So mikan amru, from this they learned that a koneset abtula patur. Someone who marries a woman who's a b'tula, he's patur from kriyat shema. Ve'et almana, he marries an almana, then chayav. So my mashmo, how do you know this? How do you learn this out of the pasuk? So amra papa ki derech. Ma derech reshut, afko reshut. Just like derech, when you go v'lechta ko b'derech, means it's of your own volition, for your own needs, for your own reasons. So too, when are you obligated to say kriyat shema? When you're on your own time. When you're on God's time, then that's not the case. Gemara says, it says, when you go on your way, it could be Devar Rishut, it could be Devar Mitzvah. How do you know that it's talking about a Devar Rishut? And the Torah still demands of you to read Kriyat Shema. So it tells you to read Kriyat Shema both in cases of Rishut and a case of Mitzvah. So how do you learn from this? Prat Losik V'Mitzvah. Where it says, when you are sitting down and when you are going. My B'Shivtecha U'Velechtecha. What is the possessive form that is written there? That it's you're sitting down and you're going. B'shevet didcha, uvelechet didcha. It's only when you're sitting on your own time, of your own volition, and you're going for your own reasons. There, hu demechayevet. Then you're chayav to say kriyat shema. Ha, de mitzvah. If it's not on your own, I mean, it's not for your own going, it's not for your own sitting, then you're tirat. Then you're patur mina mitzvah. And that's how they learn out. Mar says, okay. Ihachi, afilu koneset almana nami. Wait a minute. If this is all about a mitzvah, if the whole issue here is a osik mitzvah potter min a mitzvah, what's the issue? Why is there a difference between a b'tula and almana? Both of them are mitzvot. If you're doing a mitzvah, then it should be potter min a mitzvah. So, high tarid, vel high lo tarid. There's a difference here. There's not the same issue. One involves a certain amount of psychological worry and engagement. The other one does not. And as Rashi points out, a koneset b'tula patur should tarud b'machshevet bilat mitzvah. He is worried about this bilat mitzvah, and because of that, that adds another dimension that is poter him from kriyat shema. Okay, imishum tirda. If you're talking about being, whether it's psychologically engaged or worried, is what's poter you from kriyat shema. Afilu tavas finato b'yam nami. If your boat's sinking in the ocean, you should be patur because you're worried then. Where it says v'chi tema ochanami. So when you say, yeah, okay, in Ochanami, it says, Aloma, how could you say that? Amar Rab Abba Barzav, Amar Rav, Avel Chayav Chol HaMitzvot Amurot B'Torah. And Avel, someone who's sitting Shiva, is Chayav in all Mitzvot, Chutz Minat Tfilin. The only exception to that rule is Tfilin, Shaharei Ne'amar Behem Pe'er. Because Tfilin are called Pe'er, Shenemar, Percha Chobosh Alecha. That there's a demand for Yechezkel to put on his Pe'er, his crown, to put on that which is his glory. The Gemara says that Pe'er refers to Tefillin, and the Gemara in Moed Katan learns that whatever Yechezkel was demanded of there, Hashem tells Yechezkel, do this, do this, do this, all those are unique to Yechezkel's position where he's be'avelut, but a regular Avel would not do that. So if Yechezkel wore Tefillin, that means that an Avel in other instances would not wear Tefillin. But that's the only Ptur that you have. Otherwise, all mitzvot you're chayav. And if the problem here is Tirda, is the psychological engagement or worry or the sorrow that one feels over the loss, that should already be poter you from kriyat shema. That's not happening here. It says, hatam tarid tirda de mitzvah, hacha tarid tirda de reshut. It's the difference of what that's causing you that engagement. Are you engaged in a mitzvah that's causing the tirda? Or is it something of your own emotional expression or feelings that are causing you to have this tirda? And that's the difference. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is that the requirement for Tour here is twofold. You need both osuk b'mitzvah, and then you need tirda. Those two together are what poter you from kriyat shema. Otherwise, you're going to be chayav in kriyat shema. And examples of that are almana. When he marries the almana, even though there's osuk b'mitzvah, he's still missing the aspect of tirda. Therefore, he's chayav. And same thing with avelut. Avelut has the aspect of tirda, but does not have the aspect of mitzvah. And because of that, you have to say kriyat shema in that instance. And as my brother-in-law just pointed out to me, the Rav Soloveitchik explains with regards to avelut that the masei avelut are really only expressions of the kiyum shebelev. Those are manifestations of what happens in the lev, but the real din of avelut is a kiyum shebelev. Over here, this gemara seems to negate that, because here it says that the tirda that one feels is not a part of the mitzvah of avelut. It says that that's tirda de reshut. That's one's own emotional, right, preoccupation, engagement, but it's not related to the mitzvah itself. And therefore, here it seems to be a problem for that explanation of Rav Soloveitchik. So now the next line in the Gemara is difficult. Basically, the Bach and the Marsha take it out, because it just says here, Beit Shammai, how we baile the prat l'shluchei mitzvah. It basically answers the same question that we said before, which is, uvelechtecha v'derech. Uvelechtecha v'derech, my avad, what do they do with it? And now the Gemara answers, shluchei mitzvah. But that's what we just did. That's what we just spent all this time in the Gemara explaining, that uvelechtecha v'derech for Beit Shammai is come to say, prat lo'osek b'mitzvah. So they take it out. The Rashash leaves it in. And the Rashash says it's just a sikum. It's a summary. We started out with a question of Beit Shammai, but then we had this whole long, drawn-out discussion about osek b'mitzvah. Now when we come back, the Gemara is just re-highlighting what we started with, which is Beit Shammai, Omri Ba'iluhu, what do they need a lechtecha v'derech for? It's prat l'shluchei mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, Ubeit Hillel. Where does Beit Hillel learn out this issue of osek mitzvah poter min mitzvah? Where do they get that information from? So Amrei mimeilo shma mina tafilu b'derech nami kari. They say we learn it the same way that Beit Shammai does, which is they learn it out from shiftecha b'beit echo v'lechtecha b'derech. But Beit Hillel also needs to learn out of a lechtecha b'derech that you can say it in any position. So the answer of the Gemara is, well, that's mimeila. That comes out without any real drusha, because the Torah says you can do it. B'shiftecha b'etech v'lechtecha b'derech means that even when you're walking, you can do it. So you see from that that there is no demand of being in a specific position when you say the Kriyat Shema, because the Torah says when you're going on your way, you say it. So that's mimeila. You know that even when you're walking and moving around, you could say it, and if there's no demand of a position of b'shach v'lechob kumecha. But they agree with Beit Shammai that Uvelechtecha v'derech and B'shiftecha b'beitecha are coming to teach you about Prat Osek b'mitzvah and Prat HaChatan. I just note here, it's interesting that Rashi points out with regards to Percha Chavush Alecha, the reason for the tour for Tfilin by an Avel, the Gemara Moed Katan, as I explained, says that it's because whatever Yecheskel did, that's what the Avel doesn't do. But Rashi here gives a reason, and he says, V'avel mitgolel b'tzaro b'afar. The Avel, who is so distraught that he's basically rolling in the dust, ein ze pe'er. It's a contradiction. It's mutually exclusive to wearing tefillin, which are known as a pe'er. And the reason the Avel doesn't wear it is because the Avel is in a state of being where he is not classified as having pe'er anymore. He cannot have a pe'er on him. The question is, why did Rashi do that? Why didn't Rashi just quote the Gemara from Moed Katan? And Tosfot asked that question. So Tosva gives two answers as to why Rashi had to bring this additional reason here. First is v'teret asar mikutzi. Tzarech time is Rashi geheched lo nelif shar mitzvot mitfilin mikal v'chomer. That we don't learn out all other mitzvot from tefillin in a kal v'chomer. If we're willing to give up tefillin for an avail, tefillin being a mitzvah, we know the Gemara in Yoma says that kol kafto, any head that doesn't wear tefillin is poshe Yisrael. It's a mitzvah that has a certain amount of import. And if we were to say that an avail is patur from that, it should be patur all a mitzvot. So Rashi's come to explain to you what's unique about the mitzvah of tefillin. We say that is left out from the avel, but all other mitzvot you are chayav. Inami gives a second reason, which is, tzarech time of the Rashi, lechayvo b'tefillin nachar yom rishon. So I tell you why the p'tur for tefillin is only on the first day. Because of this mitgolel b'tzaro b'afar is unique to the avel state on the first day of avelut. But after that, the diminishment of that emotional pain as you move through the avelut, the avel is no longer mitgolel ba'afar, and that's why tefillin for the rest of the days is allowed to be put on. So he says Rashi is giving not an alternative explanation to the Gemara, but he's enhancing the explanation of the Gemara to help us understand more about this tour of tefillin on the first day of avelut. All right, now we move on in the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Beit Hillel omrim omdim v'korim, yoshvim v'korim, umatin v'korin, hochim aderech v'korin, osim v'lachtan v'korin. Any one of these positions is fine in terms of saying Kriyat Shema. You can be standing up, you can be sitting down, you can be laying on your side, you can be walking, or you can be working and you can be reading Kriyat Shema. I mean, whatever position you're found in, that's where you can read Kriyat Shema. Maseh b'Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah she'musubim b'makom echad. They were together in a location. V'haya Rabbi Shmuel muteh. Rabbi Shmuel was laying down on the bed. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah zakuf. Whether he was actually standing or he was sitting up in the bed, but he was not in a laying position. When Kriyat Shema came, Rabbi Elazar went to lay down. V'zakaf Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel popped up. Either sat up or he stood up. This is like a little bit of an affront to me here. Let me explain to you what this is like. So you have your beautiful, nice, grown-out beard. He says, if you think it's beautiful and nice, I'm cutting it off. It's going straight to the barber. Also here, as long as I was upright, you were laying down. I went to lay down to match you, to be in the same position as you. As soon as I lay down to be like you, you jumped up. Says, I don't understand. We're reading Kriyat Shema. I stood up because I'm like Beit Hillel, and you are laying down to be like Beit Shammai. V'lo'od. And not only that, the L'shem Yiru HaTalmidim V'ikvu'u Halacha L'dorot. Maybe the Talmidim will see what we did, and based on that, they'll think the Halacha is like Beit Shammai. Mar says, B'mai V'lo'od. Why do you need the second reason? Mar says, V'chitei me Beit Hillel Nami L'hu Matin. Even Beit Hillel agrees to the position of Beit Shammai. They agree that if you're laying down, it's good enough. So when he laid down on the couch, he could have said Kriyat Shema in that position. There's no problem with that. That's if you're in that position when it comes to Kriyat Shema Mi'ikara. You're originally there. So this time you were standing up or upright. And you intentionally lay down at the time of Kriyat Shema. That Beit Hillel does not agree with. So what are people going to conclude? They're going to conclude that you hold like Beit Shammai, because you specifically went out of the position you were in to the position of Muteh, and that looks like you're holding like Beit Shammai. So Shem Yiru HaTalmidim V'yikvu'u Halacha L'dorot. And so there's a fear here that that will establish Halacha like Beit Shammai. So I stood up to indicate or to be in contradistinction to your laying down and to show that the Halacha is not to lay down, but rather to be like Beit Hillel. So in Ochanami, I could have stayed laying down. It was fine for me, even according to Beit Hillel, to stay laying down. But you, because you lay down, forced me to have to stand up. Because your laying down seems to indicate the halacha is like Beit Shammai. And so now I got up in order to show that that was not the case. Reitani Rabbi Chezkel. Asa, kidivei Beit Shammai, asa, kidivei Beit Hillel, asa. If you act like Beit Shammai, it's fine. You do like Beit Hillel, it's also fine. Reyosi Amar, asa, kidivei Beit Shammai, lo asa velo klum. If you do like Beit Shammai, it's as if you did nothing. I mean that Chachamim took away the mitzvah if you specifically go out of your way to perform Kriyat Shema like Beit Shammai. It's not. We have a Mishnah that proves this. From Mishnah from Sukkah. Mishay Rosho V'rubo B'sukkah V'shulchano B'toch HaBayit. Person who's sitting in a Sukkah, Rosho V'rubo, that means his head and the robe of his body is in the Sukkah, but his table is inside the house. Now technically we have a kosher Sukkah here. Everybody agrees we have a kosher Sukkah. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of the fact that your table is inside the house, that you will be drawn after the table, and you'll end up eating in the house, not in the sukkah. So therefore, Beit Shammai puslim. Beit Shammai says it's pasul. Beit Hillel machshirim. Beit Hillel says it's fine. So Beit Shammai has this gzeirah, that it's pasul. Whereas Beit Hillel says, there is no such gzeirat chachamim, it's kasher. So Amalem Beit Hillel to Beit Shammai, maseh shalchu ziknei Beit Shammai, ziknei Beit Hillel, levaker et Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranit, metzuo shayir roshov rubo besukah, v'shukhano betoch habayit. Exactly this situation. This is a case where they found him sitting in this position where we have a machloket. V'lo amru lo klum. And they didn't say anything to him. So that's a proof that this gzeira doesn't exist. That even Beit Shammai doesn't agree to this gzeira. Amalem misham raya. Afayim amru lo. Wait, you have the whole case wrong. You don't have the end of the story. The end of the story is, im ken ha'ita noeg, lo kiyamta mitzvah tzukah miyamecha. This is the way you conducted yourself, then you certainly didn't do the mitzvah, because the chachamim suspended your ability to do the mitzvah in that way, in that manner. That if you do it in this manner, you have not been yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. So Rashi claims that the way this works is that just like in the case of sukkah, we see that Beit Shammai says if you act like Beit Hillel, the mitzvah is null and void. It's as if you didn't do the mitzvah. So to here in the reverse, here where if you act like Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel is going to say that you're not yotze the mitzvah. That's the way Rashi says the Gemara is bringing down the proof case. Problem with that is, and as Tosfos points out, is that the cases are significantly different. In this case, Beit Hillel agrees that Beit Shammai's position is still kosher to be Yotzei Kriyat Shema. Beit Shammai, in the case of Sukkah, cannot say that Beit Hillel's position is okay, because it's clear that they think that that's the gzeira. That's the gzeira, is to say, you can't do this because of what will come from it. So over there, Beit Shammai says, if you act like Beit Hillel, you didn't do the mitzvah. But over here, why is that automatic, or why would you automatically conclude that in the reverse, Beit Hillel would say, Beit Shammai is no good. Beit Hillel agrees that Beit Shammai's position is good. They just give you more options than just Beit Shammai's option. So that's why Tosfot says he doesn't understand Rashi's connection of the two, because over here, Beit Hillel is the mekil, not the machmir. So Tosfot explains the proof from this case in Sukkah a little different. that just like in Sukkah, even though min haTorah you're yotzei, nevertheless the Chachamim took away the mitzvah from you. So Beit Shammai agrees min haTorah that sitting in this rubo v'rosho b'sukkah that you're yotzei the mitzvah of Sukkah, and nevertheless Zera took away your right to do the mitzvah in that way, or the mitzvah is not accomplished when you do it in that way. So too, Beit Hillel did the same over here. Beit Hillel, even though Beit Shammai's position, min haTorah, is fine, nevertheless, the Chachamim said, if you do it in that manner, you have not been mekayim the mitzvah. So that's the connection between these two cases, is that in both cases, min haTorah, you've been fine. Just the Chachamim remove your kiyuma mitzvah if you act in this manner. So Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Asak Devei Beit Shammai, Chayav Mita. If you follow the position of Beit Shammai, not only is it lasav lo klom, but chayav mita. Not only just as if a neutral thing, that it's nothing, but rather there is a negative association with it, that you're chayav mita. How do we know that? It's not our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Tarfon, ayiti baba derech, v'itei tili kol kedivei Beit Shammai, v'sikanti b'atzmi, b'nei alistim. Amar lo, kedai ayita, l'chol b'atzmacha, shavato divrei Beit Hillel. From the response in the Mishnah to Rabbi Tarfon, they said, you would have gotten what you deserved. So you see from that, that even death was the appropriate punishment for someone who follows Divrei Beit Shammai, when they could have just held like Divrei Beit Hillel. You are allowed to do Beit Shammai. What we saw before was, if you're in that position, you do not have to change out of the position to be like Beit Hillel. You can stay in the position to be like Beit Shammai. The only fear of changing positions is, people might think that you're holding like Beit Shammai, or the halacha is like Beit Shammai. So that's the reason not to do it. If you're not in the position coming in, if you were laying down coming in, you can continue even going to Beit Hillel and say it in that position, you're fine. The only question is, if you actively change positions, then we have a problem. And that's where we have Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Nachum Yitzchak come in and say, if you actively change your positions, that lo asav lo klom. In that instance, the Chachamim took away your right to be mekayim the mitzvah in that manner. All right, next Mishnah. B'shachar mevarech shtayim lefenecha v'achat achareha. In Shacharit, you say the Birkot Kriyat Shema two before and one afterwards. If you remember back in the beginning of the Gemara says, what are we going to do? We're going to say first, talk about Kriyat Shema Shel Arvit, then talk about Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit, because the Pasuk says, U'bishach b'cha u'kumecha. Then the Gemara says, it's going to talk about Birkat Kriyat Shema of the morning, and then Birkat Kriyat Shema of night. And the Gemara says, that's because already it was talking about Kriyat Shema Shel Yom, so continue with the Birkat Kriyat Shema of Yom. So that's what we have now. It's B'shach u'merech shtayim lefenecha v'achad echareha. Two brachot before, one bracha afterwards. Then Uba Erev, now moves on to the Birkat Kriyat Shema of nighttime, which is Rech Shtayim Lefanah, Ushtayim Lacharel. Now the Gemara says, Achat Aruka, Vachat Kitzara. The Mishnah says, one of them is long, and one of them is short. So Rashi says, what's Aruka and Kitzara? So I'm at the two latter brachot in nighttime. You have Emet Vimuna, and Hashkivenu are the two brachot after Kriyat Shema at night. One of those is long, Emet Vimuna, and one of those is short, which is Hashkivenu. So makom shemu la'arich in rosh ha'ad l'katzer. If it's supposed to be a long bracha, you can't shorten it. L'katzer in rosh ha'ad l'arich. If it's a short bracha, you can't make it longer. Now, a separate din, which is lachtom, in rosh ha'ad shelo lachtom. If you normally have a chatima, a closing bracha, then you can't leave out the closing part of the bracha. Shelo lachtom, if it's a bracha that has no chatima, as Rashi points out, things like birchat ha-mitzvah, which are just a one bracha, then in rosh ha'ad lachtom, you can't have a chatima in that case. So there's a structure or a formulation of brachot that has to be kept. And when they're formulated or they're structured as being brachot with an opening and closing bracha, that's the way they have to be. And if they're only one bracha, that's the way they have to remain. You can't switch back and forth, but you can't switch between those two forms. Tosfot says, achat arukah v'achat katzarah cannot be like what Rashi suggests, that it's talking about the latter two brachot at nighttime, because he says, the Gemara later on, we're going to see, says that if you don't believe that you have to say Parshat Tzitzit at night, you can end off the end of Kriyat Shema with just a short statement about Yitziat Mitzrayim. And therefore, Emet Muna will come a short bracha. So Tosafot on the other says, no, Achat Arukah V'Achat Katzara is going on Emet V'Emuna entirely. And saying, whether you make it as a long bracha, or whether you make it as a short bracha, Rabbeinu Tam says, whether you make it long or short, if it has a chatima, it's supposed to have a chatima. If it doesn't have a chatima, it doesn't have a chatima. So they connect between those two positions. So the question of whether achat arukah, achat katzara, and lachtom enu chatom are talking about the same issue, meaning that because they're long, therefore there is a chatima, and because they're short, there is no chatima, or do we say that the two are separate issues, like Rashi suggests here, that they're totally separate issues. Arukah Ktzara is just the definition of a bracha, size of a bracha, and there's a separate din about something with a chatima and without a chatima. Now the Gemara wants to understand, my mevarek. What are the brachot? So the Yushalmi says seven brachot to Birkat Kriyat Shema are based on Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha, that I give praise to you seven times a day. And from that, the Gemara learns out that there are seven brachot that surround Kriyat Shema. Two before in the morning, one afterwards, two before at night, and two afterwards, you get to use the seven. Now the Gemara wants to know, my mevarech. What is the Shtaim Lefaneha in Shacharit? So I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Hoshaya, Yotzer Or, Uvorei Choshech. That's the first bracha that we're familiar with. Yotzer Or, Uvorei Choshech. So Mar says, why don't you say, Lema Yotzer Or, Uvorei Noga? We're talking about daytime now. So we're talking about the morning. Why are we talking about Uvorei Choshech, that he creates darkness? Why don't we have it be that he creates light, and that which shines, or that which is bright? Kidichtiv ke'amrina. The Gemara says, we're quoting a pasuk. The pasuk says, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. So since we're trying to quote the pasuk, we quote it properly. Where it says, wait a minute, if that's the case, El Mi'ato, we say Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, Oseh Shalom Uvorei Et Hakol. We're not quoting the pasuk properly. El Mi'ato, Oseh Shalom Uvorei Ra. Mika Amrinan, Kidichtiv. We don't read it as it's written. The pasuk continues, Oseh Shalom Uvorei Ra. That's not what we say in our bracha. So that can't, elektiv ra, v'karina nakol. We change the word ra into kol, either to be euphemistic, lishna me'ayo, to be a nice way of saying it, or because we don't want to be potech pela satan, we don't want to say something that's negative. So hachanami, so why don't we do the same thing with the beginning of the bracha? Let's say yotzer or, uvorei noga. Why are we saying uvorei choshech? Lishna me'ayo. Do it in a way that is positive spin to it, or it's more euphemistic. Why are we dealing with night at all? So that can't be the answer. The answer can't be that we're quoting the pasuk, because we don't quote the pasuk in the end. Because even in the daytime, we have to mention about night. And at nighttime, we have to mention about the day. So the Gemara says, we know that when it comes to daytime, we mention night, because we say, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. In the Birkat Kriyat Shema of night, where do we mention daytime? Samar Abaye, because we say in the first bracha, Golol Or Mipnei Choshech, V'Choshech Mipnei Or. So that part of that bracha is Mekayim, this din of mentioning the Midat Hayom Balayla, and the Midat Halayla Bayom, V'idach Mahi. What is the other bracha of Birkat Kriyat Shema beforehand in the morning? So we have Yotzer Or Vorei Choshech, and then we have Avarabo. Samar Yehuda Meshmuel, Avarabo. That's the next bracha. V'chein orilei Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi B'dad B'rei, you say Abba Rabba. Tani Nami Hochi. We have the bright that supports this. Ein omrim avat olam, ela Abba Rabba. We don't say avat olam in the morning, we say Abba Rabba. In the evening, we say avat olam. V'rabbanan amrei, avat olam. Rabbanan say, you say avat olam in both instances. V'chein omer, and they bring the pasuk to prove this, v'havat olam ahavtich, alkeim ishachti chosed. That Hashem loved us, that everlasting love. So there is this, Avat Olam is the proper formulation of the bracha. The Rabbanan believe that you should say Avat Olam. That's what the Sfaradim do. Sfaradim say Avat Olam in the morning, and they say Avat Olam at night. So why are the Ashkenazim say Ava Rabba in the daytime? So that's Tosafot. Tosafot says here, the first Tosafot on the Omud says, Hilkach takinu lomar b'shacharit Ava Rabba, ubarvit Avat Olam. Because the Rabbanan say you should say Avat Olam, therefore, even though we have all these other statements from the Amorim that it's Ava Rabba, so some form of compromise, we do Ava Rabba in the morning, and we do Avat Olam in the evening. So we're Mekayim both perspectives or both views over here. Now, the Gemara is going to move on to something else. But these two brachot, it's important to note that here, both in the morning and at night, we do the same thing. We say, we have to mention Midat Hayom, Balayla, Midat Halayla B'Yom. And then we have a second bracha, which is Ava Rabba and Avat Olam. And those two brachot reflect the different aspects of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's an aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is that he's the Melech HaOlam, that he's the God of the entire world. There's another aspect of God, which is that he's the God of Israel. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is our God, but he's also the God of the entire world. And those brachot reflect those two aspects of God. The first bracha being an aspect of creation, Kiyum HaOlam, Midat Hayom Balayla, Midat Halayla Bayom, things that deal with the world as a whole, God as being the God of all creation, the God of nature. But then we have a second bracha in each of these cases, which is the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, of Avat Olam and Ava Rabba. And those two aspects are what are reflected in the Shema Yisrael. When we are Mikabel Omachut Shamayim, we acknowledge Hashem being our God, but also that Hashem is the God of all and everyone. And so the two brachot are almost like an introduction or a, I would say like a hinini muchan, as we're going into Kabbalah Torah Malchut Shemayim, that they're giving us the two themes that are going to be manifest in the Kabbalah Torah Malchut Shemayim. And the brachot are that introduction that gives us the proper perspective coming into the Kabbalah Torah Malchut Shemayim. And now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmo. Hishkim lishnot ach lo kara kriyat shema tzarech levarech. A person gets up to learn before he davens, says kriyat shema, he has to make a bracha birkat haTorah. Mishikara kriyat shema, if someone already read kriyat shema, ain't tzarech levarech. You don't have to make birkat haTorah afterwards. Shikvar niftar b'avarabba. As you're always already yotzei b'avarabba, as Rashi points out, because thematically it has a lot of what birkat haTorah has, which is v'tein b'li benu b'il mod ulamed lishmar v'laso to the kaim et kol divrei talmud Torah techa. Tomdeim chukei b'tzonecha. These are the themes that are found in birkat haTorah. And that's the way we pass on the halacha, that if one, for whatever reason, forgot to say Birkat HaTorah, or someone's in a position of safek, then we can rely on the bracha Birkat Kriyat Shema to replace the Birkat HaTorah. So Amar Rav Huna, the Mikra Tzarech Levarech, or the Midrash Ein Tzarech Levarech. So it's talking about Birkat HaTorah in general. When do you have to make Birkat HaTorah, and when do you not have to make Birkat HaTorah? So Rav Huna suggests that it's only when you're learning Torah Shebichtav, Midrash, you don't need a Birkat HaTorah. Rabbi Lazar Amar, the Mikra Ula Midrash Tzarech Levarech. You need it for both for a Torah Shebichtav and the Drashot on Torah Shebichtav that are closely associated with it. But the Mishnah ain't Tzarech Levarech. When it comes to Mishnayot, you don't need a Birkat HaTorah. Yochanan Amar, after Mishnah, Nami Tzarech Levarech. For Mishnah, you have to make a Birkat HaTorah. But the Talmud ain't Tzarech Levarech. When it comes to Gemara, you don't have to make Birkat HaTorah. Rav Amar, in the way we paskin, after the Talmud Tzarech Levarech. Even for Gemara, you have to make the bracha Birkat HaTorah. No, it's not midrash like Agadato, it's midrash like Sifra Sifri, which is the halachic drashot on the psukim that are closely associated with the psukim. There it's associated with the pasuk. It's associated directly with the pasuk. The midrash is on the pasuk itself versus Mishnah, which is run independently of the psukim. It's a body of knowledge that doesn't necessarily relate directly to a pasuk by pasuk. It's almost an extract. It's learned originally from the psukim, but it's not connected directly to psukim. It's an organization of the material that is not related directly to the psukim. Damar Rav Chir Ba'ashi, Zimnin Tzagina V'kamina Kamei D'Rav Rav, L'tnuyei Pirkin B'Sifra. We were sitting in front of Rav when he was going to teach us in the Pirkin, he was going to teach us the Sifra. Sifra de Bei Rav, which is the Midrash Halacha on the psukim. Have a Maktim beforehand, v'kamashi yadei, he washed it in Negovaser, Baruch, and he made Birkat HaTorah, matli non pirkin, and then he would teach us. So you see, even for these items, you would need to sifrei de beirav, you'd have to make a Birkat HaTorah. So now Gemara wants to know, my mevorech. What are the Birkat HaTorah? So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu lasok b'divrei Torah. That's the girsa of our bracha, that's the way we say it. The riff has an alternative girsa of al divrei Torah. Rabbi Yochanan Misayim Bahochi, he completes this bracha, he concludes this bracha with, Harev na Hashem Elokeinu et Divrei Toratcha Befinu, Upipiviot Amcha Beit Yisrael, V'nei Anachnu V'tzitzeinu V'tzitzei Amcha Beit Yisrael, Kulanu Yodei Shemecha. And now here it says, V'oskei Toratecha. The Rif has an alternative girsa over here, which is V'lom Dei Toratcha Lishma, which is the girsa that we follow. Baruch Ata Hashem Amalei Torah Le'amo Yisrael. There's a lot to say about this. We'll come back in 1 second. Rav Nuna Amar, Asher Bacharbanu Mikol Amim, Natan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Ata Hashem Notein HaTorah, which is the second bracha of Birkat HaTorah. Amar Rav Nuna, others have a Had Rav Huna, Zui Mula Sheba Brachot, one of those two girsot. That's the best of the Brachot. Asher Bacharbanu is the nicest or the most beautiful of the Brachot. And now we have here in our Gemara Hilkach Lemin Hulakulu. Therefore we say all of them. That's the conclusion here. The Rif and the Rosh have a girsa, Amar Rav Papa, Hilkach Lemin Hulakulu. Rav Papa says, therefore we say them all. Why I point that out is this, we mentioned this when we did this in Chulin, the Rav Papa in numerous places in Shas is the, I'll call him the ultimate reconciler, compromiser, where when we have multiple opinions, he says, therefore we'll keep both opinions. We'll do both. And here we have Amar Rav Papa again says, Hilkach Lemimr Lekulu. So it would be befitting Rav Papa's personality that he would be the one who says it. It's also important because we actually say in the Siyum, well, we say when we have Sima Shas, we just pass, whenever you Sima Masechta, over there we quote, talk about all the children of Rav Papa. So the usual explanation that's given is because he had all these children that followed in the ways of Torah. And therefore, that's something to be praised, and that's something that we want to emulate, that our children should all follow in the ways of Torah. Another explanation, which I heard from Rav Yitz Rosenbaum, he mentioned, and after I had mentioned him showing all the places in Shas where Rav Papa does this, he noted that the number of times in Shas where Rav Papa says Hilkach will do both of them is the same as the number of children that are mentioned in the Siyum HaMasechta. And that is that he was zoche for being the one who compromised and the one who reconciled. He was zoche to these children that were Talmidei Chachamim, which is a beautiful explanation of that practice of mentioning them afterwards. Right now, going back to Roni's question, which was, wait a minute, as you move away from Torah Shebichtav, you have less likely to make the bracha. Why is that? And we know that Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebe'el, are all given in Sinai, they're all part of Torah. So the question here is, Birkat HaTorah on the Chefsa of Torah? Or is Birkat HaTorah al Limud HaTorah, on the learning of Torah? And that's what that argument is about over here. Is Birkat HaTorah simply about the Chefsa of Torah, and therefore only on Torah Shebichtav would you say it? Or is it about being Osek and Limud HaTorah, and that would be even up to Gemara? So the differences or the range that you're running in between is, how close are you to the Chefsa of Torah versus how far away are you from the Chefsa of Torah where you'll still make a bracha? We obviously paskin like Rava, which is not only is the Chefsa of Torah, like Torah Shebichtav, require bracha, but even the Limud HaTorah and the Isuk B'Torah, including Torah Shebaal Peh, is included in that, and therefore you have to make Birkat HaTorah. The second question you have to ask is, what is the bracha of Birkat HaTorah? What type of bracha is this? We know that we have categories of brachot. We have Birkat HaNenin, we have Birkat HaMitzvot, we have Birkat Shevach V'Hoda'ah. Where is this bracha of Birkat HaTorah, where does it fit in? So there are two possibilities here. One is that it's a Birkat HaMitzvah, that it's a bracha over the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, and that's what you're making here. You have a bracha of like any other of the Birkat HaMitzvot. The other possibility is that it's Birkat Shevach V'Hoda'ah. It's giving praise to Hashem for our ability to engage in Torah and our unique position that we have the Torah. Birkat Shevach V'Hoda'ah. So, my nafkamino, why does it make a difference whether it's a Birkat HaMitzvah or it's Birkat Shevach V'Hoda'ah? So one of the differences actually might be, and here the Shulchan Aruch mentions two of these things. One of them is that, do women make Birkat HaTorah? We know that by the practice of the Sfaradim, when it comes to women who opt into a mitzvah, they do not make a bracha on that mitzvah. So here the women who may or may not be chayavin or chayavot in Torah or the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah has a range of opinions, but assuming that they don't have the same chiyuv or chiyuv, then they don't need to make Birkat HaMitzvah. If they don't have to make Birkat HaMitzvah, then why would the Shulchan Aruch believe here that women have to make Birkat HaTorah? The Shulchan Aruch is consistent with this opinion in other places where women opt into a mitzvah, they shouldn't have to make the bracha. Yet, the Shulchan Aruch paskins over here that they do make the bracha, indicating that he thinks it's not a Birkat HaMitzvah, but rather a bracha of Shevach V'Hoda'ah. First of all, it's not clear. But even if you do believe that, is that a separate din in Limud HaTorah, or is that a part of the mitzvah? That limud, is it just part of the Kiyum HaMitzvah? In order to be kind of the mitzvah, you need to know how to do it. So that's an extension of the mitzvah itself, not a separate mitzvah of Limud HaTorah.
The other nafkamino is with regards to hirhur in Limud HaTorah. Everybody agrees that if one is meharher in Divrei Torah, that he's mekayim the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. Question is, do you have to make a bracha on Hirurei Torah? So the Mechaber believes that you do not have to make a bracha of Birkat HaTorah when you have Hirurim about Divrei Torah. Well, if it's a Birkat HaMitzvah, then why should it matter whether you're actually speaking Divrei Torah or being Meharher in Divrei Torah? On the other hand, if you believe that Birkat HaTorah is Sheva Kovodah, then it might only be on the Chepta of Torah that when you're speaking Torah that you have to make a bracha. But when you're Rak Meharher B'Torah, even though you're Mekayim the Mitzvah, that doesn't have a din of the Shevach V'Hoda'ah. So therefore, in these two areas, both with women and with regards to Hirhur, it seems from the Mechaber that he believes that Birkat HaTorah is Birkat Shevach V'Hoda'ah and not a Birkat HaMitzvah. There are others, like the Ramah, who believe that it's, or like the Ramah, who seem to be indicating that Birkat HaTorah is more like a Birkat HaMitzvah and not a Birkat Shevach V'Hoda'ah.
One of the suggestions is that the reason we have two brachot for Birkat HaTorah is because you have both aspects. That one of those brachot is the Birkat HaMitzvah, and the other one is the Birkat HaShevach V'Hoda'ah. Birgana mitzvah is lasuk b'divrei Torah. And the bracha of Asher Bachar Banu is the bracha of Shevach Hoda. So there's a possibility that the reason we have two brachot here is to incorporate both of these ideas, both that of Birkat HaMitzvah, as well as Birkat Shevach Voda. The other thing to note here quickly is just the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says, Misayim Ba'meharev Na, shows you that it's one bracha. That Lasok V'Divrei Torah continues into the bracha of Harev Na, and that's why it would be inappropriate to answer if one's being Yotzei with someone who's making the bracha, it's inappropriate to say Amen after Lasuk B'Divrei Torah, because that's not the conclusion of the bracha. The bracha continues from Lasuk B'Divrei Torah into Varev Na. It's a singular bracha with a pticha and a chatima, and you only answer Amen after the completion of the entirety of the bracha, and this comes up every year on the morning of Shavuot, where people are being yotzei with the Birkot Torah, that in that instance, one should not answer Amen between those two. The last thing I want to mention is what Tosfot raises over here. Tosfos says, he brings from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that in order to be Yotzei by Ava Rabbah as the Birkat HaTorah, you must learn immediately afterwards. You have to learn Torah immediately after davening. If you don't learn immediately after davening, Ava Rabbah cannot replace Birkat HaTorah. Tosfos then says, well, what about us? When we make Birkat HaTorah, we run out of shul after Shacharit. We go to work right away. What happens to the Limud HaTorah that you need to do? So the first answer Tosfot says, it's a difference between Ava Rabbah and Birkat HaTorah. Ava Rabbah, which is only like a quasi Birkat HaTorah, there you need to learn afterwards to indicate that it's a Birkat HaTorah. When you make the real Birkat HaTorah, then you don't need to learn right afterwards because it's clear that that is Birkat HaTorah. That's the first answer. The second answer Tosfot says is that when a person makes the Birkat HaTorah in the morning, even though he won't learn until halfway through the day or until in the evening, still he says, Shiny Torah, Shenu Mayesh Da'ato. He never leaves his mind. Person's always obligated to learn all the time. And so no matter where he is or where he's going afterwards, he's still on his mind that he wants to do this or that he wants to become the mitzvah. So there is no Hesech Hadat over here. And that will be in distinction with the mitzvah of Sukkah, for instance. Every time you go into the Sukkah, you make another bracha of Leisheva Sukkah. How come every time you go in, you make Leisheva Sukkah by Birkat HaTorah? We don't do that. That's because the difference of mitzvah of Leisheva Sukkah is local mitzvah. Limud HaTorah is an overarching mitzvah. I've heard from Rav Soloveitchik, my brother-in-law said the formulation was that it's in the consciousness of the individual, that a person always has in the back of his mind the Limud HaTorah, and Torah is a part of his life. The way I heard it formulated was that when it comes to Torah, Torah is a guide of a person's actions throughout his life. Torah is not simply about Limud HaTorah, but even a way a person acts. Whether it's in the workplace, how they conduct themselves in business is also guided by Torah. And that is a kiyum of mitzvah Torah and Limud HaTorah. And so therefore, there really isn't ever any hesech hadat min haTorah, because Torah is our whole worldview. It's the entirety of our life. And that thematically is important. It's also important in understanding the Birkat HaTorah. We know that the Gemara Nedarim asks, Ama Nechra Aretz, Ama Nevda Aretz, why was the Eretz lost there? The Pasuk, the Navi answers, because they didn't learn Torah. The Gemara Nedarim says, now that can't be the case. They were learning Torah, but because Lo Birchu B'Torah Tchila, they didn't make Birkat HaTorah. And that's important. Birkat HaTorah is both an understanding that Limud HaTorah is a mitzvah. It's also Shevach Oda, but more importantly, it's an indication, the way that we act with Birkat HaTorah, we make it at the beginning of the day, and it fills our consciousness through the whole day, is a whole approach to Torah. It's a whole view of how Torah permeates our lives. And therefore, one who does not make Birkat HaTorah does not understand the value, the power, and the importance of Torah to their entirety of their life. Not that it's just a simple mitzvah, and not that it's an intellectual exercise, but rather it's a life. And it's about how one conducts their life. And that's why Birkat HaTorah are so important. It's important to have the proper kavanot when they make Birkat HaTorah. And our minhag, anyway, to deal with this is that we actually do say the psukim afterwards. We say the psukim of Birkat Kohanim to learn Torah Shvichtav. Afterward, we say the Mishnah of Elu Dvarim to learn Mishnah. And then we say the second Breita of Elu Dvarim to learn, quote-unquote, Gemara from Torah Kohanim. And therefore, we are Mikayim, all different forms of Limud HaTorah, of Mikhtav, Mishnah, and Gemara, right afterwards, in order to be Mikayim both, Shitot, to say that we learn Torah immediately, as well as we have this idea of the Tosafot, that we don't have to make this bracha again during the daytime. All right, let's continue in the Gemara. Tanan Hatam, we have a Mishnah over there. Amar Lehem HaMuneh, this is a Mishnah in Tamid, that describes the morning activities in the Mikdash. Muneh, that's the Iskan Kohen, says them, Baruch Hu Brachachat, make one of the brachot, a Birkat Kriya Shema in the beginning, we saw there were two brachot beforehand. He says, make one of them. The Gemara will come back and say which one of them. Ve'im barchu, they made it. Ve'karu, aseret adibrot, Shema, they read the aseret adibrot, then they read Shema. Vayayim Shemoa, Vayomer, the three parshiot of Kriyat Shema, ubarchu et ha'am gimu brachot. Not that they gave a bracha to the Am, but they, together with the rest of the people, they made three brachot. Emet v'yatziv, the bracha after Kriyat Shema, ve'avuda is ritzei, a tefillah that Hashem should accept the avod on the Mikdash, ubirkat kohanim. And birkat kohanim here, as Tosfos points out, is not the real birkat kohanim, they weren't given the bracha, but the way we say it in Chutz La'aretz, or way people say it when there aren't kohanim in the shul, v'elkeinu v'elkei avoteinu. It's a zikaron, the Birkat Kohanim, but not the actual Birkat Kohanim. Ubishabbat musufim bracha achat, the Mishmar Yotze. And on Shabbat, they add on an additional bracha for the exchange of the Mishmarot. The Kohanim are divided up into 24 Mishmarot. They divide up year into 24 different weeks. And each week, and every Mishmar comes up. And they used to switch midday on Shabbat. So there's an additional bracha for the Mishmar Yotze. We'll see later on in the Gemara. The Gemara will give us that bracha. Right? My bracha achat. Which is the bracha that we say beforehand? They say one of the two brachot they say beforehand. Ki had Rabbi Ava, Rabbi Yossi bar Ava, iklu lahawa atra. They went to the city. Ba'u minayu my bracha achat. What is this bracha achat? Lo hava biyadayu. They didn't know. Ba'atu shaylu the Rav Mato. They then went to Rav Mato. Lo hava biyodayu. He didn't know what it was either. Atu shaylu the Rav Yehuda. Finally got to Rav Yehuda. Amalhu, achi amar Shmuel. Right? Rav Yehuda is a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. Now here he says the name is Shmuel Avarabo. They didn't say Yotzer of Orechoshek. They said Avarabo, and that's because it was too early in the morning. Anybody who said Kriyat Shema with a Kohanim now was not Yotzer Kriyat Shema because it's before Zman Kriyat Shema. So it's also before the time they say Orev Orechoshek possibly. And therefore it was too early to say that bracha. They only said the bracha of Avarabo. V'am Rab Zrika, Am Rabbi Ami, Am Rab Shim Ben Lokish, Yotzer Or. No, the one bracha they said was Yotzer Or, not Avarabo. That what we're quoting from Rabbi Zrika was not explicitly stated. It was an inference. From this Mishnah in Tamid, he says, you can see that brachot are not makvot, achad ed sheni. One bracha does not affect the other bracha of Yotzer Or and Avarabo. They're independent brachot. So when it says, Iyamarat bishlama Yotzer Or, hava amrei. If you said that they said Yotzer Or and not Avarabo, then you conclude, Haino de brachot ein makvot zuudzu, they're not makev. The loka amrei Avarabo, because you're not saying Avarabo, so you see that there is no iku. Heli amart Avarabo habu amrei. If you suggest that they really said Avarabo, my brachot ein makvot zuudzu. How can you prove from this that brachot are not makvot zuudzu? Dilma hai de lo amrei Yotzer Or, mishum de lo matas van Yotzer Or. The reason they didn't say Yotzer Or is not because they didn't want to say it, but because rather it wasn't the right time. And when the time came, they did say it. So maybe they are makvot zuudzu. You need to say both of them in order to be yotze. You just have to say yotze or later because of the time frame in which they're saying it. So the only way you could prove that brachot ein makvot zuudzu is to say that they only said yotze or and not avarabo. And that's the inference that tells us that Rav Zrika really believed that. Where it says, V'i michlala, mai. So what's the difference if it's michlala? I mean, it's a good proof. Whether it's inferred or it says explicitly, here you come up. D'i michlala, because the Gemara says no. Because the inference is not foolproof here. Lolam avarabah aviyamre. Really, they said avarabah. V'chi matas man yotzeor, havamre le. And when yotzeor came later on, they did say it. And brachot ar makvot zuudzu. But didn't he say brachot ar makvot zuudzu? You misunderstood that. Brachot ein makvot zuudzu doesn't mean you can say them independently, but rather, umay brachot ein makvot zuudzu, say their brachot. The order of the brachot is not makev. Because over here you're saying Avarabo first, and then Yotzer Or. So the inference is not a foolproof inference. You could have read it a different way. You could have inferred something else. So therefore he's telling you that it is an inference and not a direct statement because it's not clear that you can come to this conclusion, or absolutely, it's muhrach that you come to this conclusion. There's another way of interpreting that statement of Rav Zrika, and if you do that, then you don't come to the same conclusion. About the fact that they said Yotzer Or, not Avarabo. He says, I think that is the inference, but it's not as strong a statement as having a clear and defined statement from Rav Zrika. Okay, we'll stop over here.